Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
So if you're a franchisee, you just want it broken all the time.
Exactly.
Like, why would you ever fix it?
You don't want to deal. What you're dealing with as the franchisee is you're sitting at the window when somebody throws a fit where, like, a drunken guy comes in with his Buffalo Buddy and starts going, you know, why the F don't you have ice cream? You never have ice cream, you know, at that.
A sarong or sarung is a large tube or length of fabric often wrapped around the waist, worn in Southeast Asia, Southern Asia, Western Asia. Everyone was right on that. I think there's many variants.
Well, hold on. You gave the definition. I was the one that was right.
Yeah, but it can be wrapped around the waist, as Oscar said.
I'll give it to Mike.
But it's Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean,
he didn't say Asia in his answer.
It can be worn in America.
I need 2 extra points for Asia.
Now both of you giving me a hard time.
Not giving you a hard time.
Just trying to come in here.
I once played ping pong and ding dang. A lot of fun.
I certainly will jump in the pool occasionally with a with a bathing suit on.
Not with a t-shirt, though.
I don't wear a t-shirt in the pool.
That's
you
good.
You do, though. I'm sure you did many years.
No.
Yes, you did.
When's the last time you've been in a pool?
They hire me in my development to go and get into the pool when they fill it because it fills faster when I'm in it.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Here we are at The Mike O'Mara Show. We are enjoying our second decade of fun, and I've got a message for you in just a moment here, a public service message. We'd like to say hi to all our listeners in Columbus, Ohio, Sutter Creek, California, Sutter. If you don't know, rhymes with butter. Any wine drinker, Rob, would not need a pronouncer on that. So it's, Sutter Home, that fabulous quality.
I was thinking of the...
that quality wine.
Thinking of the general manager of KCJJ, Tom Sutter.
Tom Sutter and the whole Sutter family.
That's right.
Tom Sutter. Indian Harbor Beach, Florida, Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, Bath, North Carolina, and Sao Paulo, Brazil. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now. It's May. It's the middle of May.
Yes.
And it's beginning to warm up in many parts of the country. And soon enough, we're going to be in the middle of summer. And I would like to present this as kind of a public service with the great weather and the flowers bursting, buds bursting everywhere with late spring turning to summer.
Yes.
People are going to be participating in outdoor activities. And you know I live in a warm climate, so we have that pretty much year-round down here.
Mm-hmm.
But I would just like to share an observation that I made in Florida months ago, and I made it just driving into the community today. If you're someone who is planning on doing a power walk, a jog, and you're out and about, I'm talking to the guys out there, the fellas, mm-hmm. The males in the audience right now. And you are, say, anywhere over the age of 50, and you want to get a good sweat up and you want to get a work on it. I don't ever want to see your tits, okay? I don't want to see any. Let me explain what I think as far as when you're going shirtless and you're out of doors.
All right.
Men, all right? You are a male model. You're an elite conditioned athlete. You are, let's say, I'll be generous here, 28 or under.
Bingo.
And, relatively
fit. That's
the
sweet spot, yeah.
Mm-hmm. If I'm having to look at your faded, not only your breasts bouncing on your little walk, on a day where I would say down here it's 81, 82. It's a warm day, but it's not a I have to have a shirt off warm day.
Right, not a
and
scorcher,
I have to look,
Mike.
I have to look at you shirtless and whatever your calf tattoo that I couldn't make out from a distance. That and by the way, they look. Just remember, kids, when you're going to get that ink, remember, it'll look really good on you when you get to be a senior citizen.
That's right.
It'll really look good.
The tattoos get longer.
Maybe I don't know if this overreaction is because I am someone who would horrify people. Mm. I certainly will jump in the pool occasionally with a bathing suit on.
Not with a t-shirt, though.
But I'm extraordinarily self-aware. of no, I don't wear a t-shirt in the pool.
That's
you
good.
You do, though. I'm sure you did many years.
No.
Yes, you did.
When's the last time you've been in a pool?
They hire me in my development to go and get into the pool when they fill it because it fills faster when I'm in it. It's an hourly wage.
But you did a like a beach or a pool trip with your family or your mom or your dad and wore a t-shirt.
Maybe
all day,
as
right?
a kid, but no, not as right. a grown-up. No.
Okay. All right.
You should. You should be ashamed.
They're not
exclusive. I can be ashamed and not wear a shirt.
If I'm out of shape, I wear a t-shirt. And
you're
I just
doing
say,
it again. You're talking to him. You're looking directly at him.
I'm going
to
stop it.
I'm going to fix it. Move your microphone over towards him.
Like that?
Yeah. There you go. Now turn and talk to him.
Hey, right. buddy.
Hi. This is weird.
Yeah.
See how easy that is? That was easy.
It would be easy.
That was easy.
I should figure out a way just to remember not to turn my head.
I asked Rob to stop talking.
How old are you? You're 50 now, right?
Yes.
Now,
I just turned 50.
Back.
I did.
Why did you move it back?
Because I am going to mind over matter. I am not going to turn my head.
I'm going to tell you right now, I have identified the problem that we were working on before the show. Mm. These are directional microphones. In order for you never to be picked up on his microphone, you have to move it to your left.
Yes.
And then it'll be perfect. And it'll be off to the side, which is where it should be anyway. It should be like this.
All right.
It doesn't need to be like this.
No, it doesn't.
All right. It needs to be like this. And if your angle, now I think you'll be fine for the rest of the show.
The rest of my life.
And we can see your face, which is great.
See, he's got a smart comment, but he's 50 and he still doesn't know how to run a microphone on a broadcast.
We fixed it.
Anywho. I think that this applies to tank tops as well. Not the regular tank. I call them the LBD tank tops that have the armhole
that
goes
deep
down.
Deep V.
What happens, Mike, is they hang low below the arm, and sometimes you get a little more real estate showing than you want.
Well, you get side boob from a man that has side boob, potential. You do. You get side boob.
Side boob potential.
And the risk of side roll.
Oh, yeah.
I think I can't describe enough that you see, first of all, it's not necessity. I'm outside in 95 to 101 degree weather almost on a regular basis. And I wear a golf shirt. So, I mean, do I sweat? Yeah, you sweat. But with the modern materials that are used today, it's perfectly acceptable. When you see a man that's, say, 65 or 66, who is out there with his shirt off, when I see a man take his shirt off, more often than not, it tells me two things. Either he was featured on the most recent episode of Cops, or he somehow believes that when he rips that shirt off, that he's got it going on, that he wants to show the world his man boobs, and it's never going to work. The level of fitness at an advanced age you have to be in to do that successfully. And by the way, there are plenty of guys that would be able to pull it off, where you would look and you would have no idea what the situation is. But the majority of these guys, including the guy I saw, who, by the way, was not a tremendous amount of body fat, really not a...
Do you think he has deluded himself into thinking he's better looking than he is?
If I said to you how I really felt, and maybe one day we can have a show where we really take off the filter and share... this is so elitist, what I'm going to say here right now. I think he's a guest.
I think he's somebody's brother. You are not a blue blood.
I think he's somebody's brother. I don't live in a particularly she neighborhood, but I think this. I think based on my neighbors that I know down here, I think he's perhaps a brother.
You can't. So you're telling me in your neighborhood, it's no shoes, no shirt, no service. Like, what do you want?
I'm telling you in my neighborhood that there are guys that ride around, and even the guy that wears a tank top, I think it's silly. And he's the nicest guy in the world. I see him every morning when I'm taking my kid to the bus stop. I see him with a tank top and he gives a wave. He's super friendly. And that to me, wear your tank tops.
When he waves, does the tank top wave as well?
Get buried in that tank top.
When did you become so elitist?
I'm not being elitist. You know what?
You're from Manassas,
all right?
Here's the thing.
No, he's from Glastonbury.
I'm making a threat. And by the way,
don't ever forget
Scabby McPicker's back.
Yeah.
Okay. Happy to be back.
After he was tickling the general's balls yesterday.
And,
he's back on the show. Oscar, I am not. I'm saying that was, yeah, I identified it as an elitist
must
comment.
Must be a guest. Someone's brother that doesn't know the rules. You can't be trashing.
You remember who was a guest was Al Chervik in Caddyshack.
Oscar, if you identify the comment you're going to say as elitist, you're not an elitist. Because if you were an elitist, you would make a comment like that without any qualifier whatsoever.
Counselor, what did you come up with that logic? You
can apply that to anything. I'll tell you the logic. I had not seen the guy all year, and I live here all year. So that's the logic.
Now that it's May, it's tank top weather. You're going to be seeing a lot of him.
By the way, there's a guy that used to walk up in Maine, never took his shirt off, but he kind of looks like the same guy. And
was he also a guest?
This guy, I don't know. This guy just was out on the regular. We don't have, we're not in that kind of a community.
Oh, okay.
But this guy, we call him, his nickname yes. is The Scream.
The Scream?
Yes, because I think at some point there may have been something that went on that causes him to have a frozen... His mouth is open.
Oh, like the Edward Munch painting.
So let me get this right.
All the time.
If you don't dress accordingly, you're from away. If you got a medical malady that has your mouth breather face just permanently there.
I don't know if it's a medical malady. I didn't say that.
You guys stop making me.
You come back. This was not Maine.
It's made
was
you
the
hard
other place.
And a snobby place.
Maine was the place. I know, but it made me identify the fact that I don't like old guys. Either in those big baggy tank tops that are sloppy, especially if like you can go into a Walmart or something. I mean, come on, I don't need to see your flesh because it's disgusting.
Yeah, when Mike was a boy, they used to put on a tie to go to Walmart.
Hey, my old man back in the day, because he was the World War II veteran, and they came back, and those guys dressed all the time.
Yeah.
They didn't go out of the house without wearing like a fedora.
Big Daddy was the same way, absolutely.
It was a better time. It was a sunnier day.
We could meet in the middle if you say, hey, if you're a sloppy dude, just understand and be aware of how sloppy you are and try to, cover it up.
I don't think he was sloppy. I don't think he was even fat. I don't think he was, but he's old and it just looks silly. It looks silly. You see a guy that's like, for example, there's one time when I saw I think it was either a track team or a soccer team or whatever for either a college or high school now, and they're out here in the Florida hot sun and they were wearing their blue gym shorts and they look so good. Now they were wearing their blue gyms and they didn't have shirts on their kids.
Yeah.
And they're running
That's
around
normal.
And it's
That's
like,
normal.
You play skins shirts and stuff like that. Or I had a particular Catholic priest when I went to Catholic school, we played skins.
Yeah. I thought it was tummy sticks.
Oh no.
It was full skins. It was full skins with no shorts, whatsoever.
No shorts or shorts.
Do you remember a particular guy we worked with that was old enough to remember swimming in school?
Naked. They made him swim naked, absolutely. Yeah.
That was a showstopper.
That was a fun discussion, wasn't it?
This explains a lot.
It was a showstopper. And he turned out fine.
A showstopper! Absolutely.
God. I would say before you cast these dispersions on people, you should actually...
It's not dispersions. It's aspersions.
Aspersions.
It's aspersions.
Aspergers.
Asparagus.
Before you do that...
Please to look up aspersions.
Yeah, okie doke.
In our dictionary.
Mm-hmm. I'd like some clarification as well.
Or even the phrase you could look up, cast aspersions.
Hmm. How about this? Before you diss anybody... Oh, there he is. Little Michael back in action.
Is this going to be a day?
I missed him yesterday.
Come here. Come over this side. This side. No,
is he wearing a scarf?
Side. Other side.
It's so fashionable.
He's wearing a gator. He's wearing a gator. Hi, buddy.
Hi.
What did you pop in again? You gonna put your B-17? Start doing that after Daddy got beat out. Is it going well?
Yeah.
Okay. Good luck. Give me a kiss. We're doing the show. I love you.
Can I ask him a question?
Oscar wants to ask you a question. You didn't see me. So right from the microphone.
Dioscar wants to know if you finished your homework yet.
Did you finish your homework yet?
Yes.
Yes, you did.
Oh, that. Someone's got to be a disciplinarian.
I'm good with it. Yeah, because I let him run wildfire, I mean, what's wrong with you today? Just because I messed up your week, you're giving me a hard time.
Mike, cast aspersions is an idiom that dates back to the late 1500s.
Wow, really? That long? Yeah.
The idiom is a word, group of words, or phrase that has a figurative meaning that is blah, 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 blah. To cast aspersions means to call into question someone's integrity, to criticize someone's character, or to slander someone.
And would you spell aspersions, please?
Aspersi.
It's not dispersion?
No.
It's not dispersion.
I'm an idiot.
A-S-P-E-R-S-I-O-N-S.
Well, you're going to be, if you're going to be trailing it out on me, I got to correct
about you. You've taught me
about 18 of those go a week.
You've taught me about a lot. Please continue.
Where were we?
You being a blue blood.
Blue blood is not really that. No, I don't think that's
my mom would say sangre azul.
No, he's right. He's right. It was
that means blood blue?
Yes.
I should have said it was just,
yeah.
No, I mean, you know what it's like when you live in a neighborhood. I mean, it happens whether you're at whatever community you're in. You look at somebody and you just say, they don't look like they're from the area. I haven't seen that person in a whole year. They must be visiting.
And if you don't think that, they're saying it about you.
Exactly.
They're probably thinking the same thing. Like, man, that young lady must have inherited something from her husband because she's sitting there with her father and their son, right? They must think all these things.
What, are you talking about my wife?
I'm saying nobody knows the full story about anybody until they get to know them. This gentleman is like, you know.
What's wrong with you today? What is wrong? You came in here with both barrels blazing I am not liking it, Mr.
No, the subject matter came up on your end. I had nothing to do with anybody in tall T's and low V's on their sides. Like, I had no problem with that. But I do.
What do you mean? You have no problem with it?
I have no problem with people walking around trashy. If that's the way they're comfortable, no problem.
Not a question of trash. I did not say that. What I said was shirts off.
Yes. A little bit of respect, maybe.
Unless you have a full six pack or an eight pack, no shirt should ever be off.
Then we're on the same page. That's what this started about. And also the tank tops are, you know, I'm fine with that. I said to a degree.
Is it a logoed tank top or is it usually plain?
The guy that I wave at every morning, there are two of them. They're two guys. They might have been. They look so similar that they might even be brothers. And one of the guys is riding his bike, and he's a tennis player, and he rides by all the time it's like a backpack with a tennis racket sticking out of it, and he's a waver too. In fact, he's a waver and a hi. Always has said hi to me and my son. Always has said that. And then the other guy is a big waver too. You know, so my feeling with those guys, wear as many tank tops as you want, but they're not the tank tops that have that I've seen with people where,
floppy.
You know, they hang out like, I guess I would describe it as like a weightlifter's tank. You know what I mean?
From the 80s.
It's kind of hanging out.
To me, it almost looks like a lady's beach cover up that she would wear over her suit when she went to the beach. Something loose and flouncy.
Well, fine. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about, but that's fine. Yes. A beach cover up.
Yeah. Have you not heard of a beach cover up? It's like something you would wear over your suit. Well, I wouldn't, but a young lady would if she doesn't
want to. Like a sarong?
Yeah. Something like that.
Mm-hmm. You know what a sarong is, Mike? It's that thing that goes around the bathing suit when they're going to the beach.
A sarong?
Yes.
I thought a sarong was something that they wore in like Thailand or something like that.
It is a loose fitting garment. And I think
I thought a sarong was something they wrap around their waist and then tie.
I thought a sarong was like what a sumo wrestler would wear.
No, that has a different name.
It goes up and it wraps around his belly and then it goes up between his legs
I think that has a different name.
What do you know about this?
What I know is that the sarong goes around the waistline and the beach cover up, it looks like it's a sundress almost.
Like a muumuu.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay. I've got it. Now that I know what you're saying, thank you, Pony, for the explanation. It's kind of like it's a cover up, as Rob said.
A sarong or sarung is a large tube or length of fabric often wrapped around the waist, worn in Southeast Asia, Southern Asia, Western Asia.
I was right.
Everyone was right on that. I think there's many variants
on it. Well, hold on. You gave the definition. I was the one that was right.
Yeah, but it can be wrapped around the waist, as Oscar said.
I'll give it to Mike.
But it's Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean,
he didn't say Asia in his answer.
It can be worn in America.
I give you two extra points for Asia.
Now both of you giving me a hard time.
Not giving you a hard time at all.
Just trying to come in here.
I once played ping pong and ding dang. A lot of fun.
I don't want to do the show today. Goodbye. So here's the deal. I wanted to say something about Charles Grodin because yesterday during the show, when Rob brought it up, I don't think we spent enough time on it. And
it caught us unawares. It caught us unawares.
It did. Is that proper English now that since we're in the land of nitpick right now? Caught us unawares?
I already learned aspersions.
It would be caught us unaware.
I think that there is
blindsided. What about blindsided you?
Blindsided.
It blindsided you.
That would be more. Yeah. That would be a better usage term.
Caught us unawares is in Merriam-Webster as to affect someone without
with
warning.
An S on the end of it.
Yes, without being expected.
Unawares. I didn't know that was actually something you could use.
Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
All right. You're right. I'm wrong about that.
You know what? I think English is organic and changing, and I think we can all be right.
I'm woke to that.
Yeah. Stay lit, baby.
Charles Grodin, because there are many, many people in our listening audience who, I guess the best way to be kind about it would be, are obsessed with death, like Rob is. But the difference is, and I should have stopped and paused, there are celebrities pass away all the time, but not many celebrities pass away that I've had the pleasure of interviewing and meeting and being sitting in a studio with. And Charles Grodin was one of those guys. And about that time that had happened, it might have been the 80s or 90s, Charles Grodin was still getting it done. And Charles Grodin was one of the really best comic actors of his day. But what I forgot, and what we got a taste of on the old Don and Mike show, and what he did to every talk show, whether it was David Letterman or Johnny Carson, what he brought to a talk show was there was nobody better at it. I'd completely forgotten how hysterical Charles Grodin was on both David Letterman and Johnny Carson. Both, Johnny's dead and David's retired and he's an old man now too.
Right.
Time passes, folks. Enjoy him while you can. I urge everybody in our listening audience to go to YouTube and, sit through the 3 minutes of commercials like I did. I'm going to ask you about that too. I hate to digress right now, but it's always about me. What do I, is there
something, $8.
Do I subscribe?
$5 a month, $8 a month, depending on how much they charge.
Going to have to pull the plug. Yeah. Going to have to pull the plug. So anywho, his dry wit, I think that not only was he best at it, but I think there were tons of people who tried to do what he did.
Sure.
And you have to be, it's hard to describe. Go watch talk show segments with Charles Grodin and watch the way he does it. And it's just, it's obvious shtick. That goes without saying. But he's so fantastic at it, at being the contrarian, especially with Johnny Carson. And when David Letterman said, "We'll bring out Mr. Happy," and I said, I forgot completely that. And by the way, he's got some great movies. Midnight Run was a fantastic movie. Hey, he was great in Heaven Can Wait. He goes all the way back to Rosemary's Baby. He was in the Beethoven movies because he was a perfect guy to plug into a role like that. There is an absolute horror show of a movie that's just funny because of two guys, and that's called Clifford. And it's with Martin Short and Charles Grodin. And Charles Grodin was just an American original. I say it a lot, but I love these guys that are original. And he was so funny. And I didn't give him nearly enough time yesterday. And I feel bad for that. So I wanted to rectify that situation when I came in today.
He was also in a favorite movie of mine when I was growing up called Seems Like Old Times. It was the second Chevy Chase, Goldie Hawn movie.
Okay.
And he was such a magnificent foil because the world is falling down around his ears. All he wants is to have his boss over for dinner. Mm-hmm. And that's fantastic. And also, Mike, to your thing about Carson, I think he's the only person ever that he signed an exclusivity deal with The Tonight Show. Johnny loved him so much that Johnny did not want to share him.
And Johnny probably didn't want him doing that act on other talk shows.
So there was a stretch of time, I think, in the latter part of the Tonight Show where he was only allowed to go on with Johnny.
It's fascinating.
Isn't that cool?
I can't believe that they would pay for, I could see that for news agencies, but not for Johnny.
Yeah.
There was a lot of territoriality on these talk shows. And, Rob, maybe you could do a dive because I think when you miss a guy on the first day that he passes, maybe we could get a couple of clips of Charles Grodin on the talk shows with Letterman and Carson.
I love that.
Because it was just, I think it translates okay to audio.
Yeah.
And we could play that. But really, really brilliant guy. Brilliantly funny guy. And he did, back in the day on the old Don and Mike show, we'd get the celebrities that would come on and be interviewed to say, my name is, Jay Leno, and I never listened to Don and Mike. I'm Dennis Miller, and I never listened to Ed. And we got Charles Grodin to do it. He threw that out the window. He just did this lengthy promo about they're very fat. These guys are fat guys. They're really fat. And he says, and one or both of these guys, this is Charles Grodin, have eaten most of my box lunch. So he asked him to do a promo. He says, and then he goes into, and they're very fat guys. And I'm hungry. Thank you very much.
I remember that day. He took so the longest fun. Pauses, and it didn't seem right listening to the radio. He's thinking, and now I'm hungry.
It's just fun, and just a great guy.
You're lucky to have spent some time with him. I'm very jealous of
that. Yeah, it was cool. It was cool to have him. And back then, it was weird. You don't appreciate them when they're around, but, some of those legendary people that are on, and there's just not many guys that did. He's kind of nerdy in his own little way, but just really, really in demand for a period of time. Yeah.
He's a guy who... And for me, I never had the chance to interview him and have any close interactions, but I grew up on movies, and you're like, that's a guy you expect to always be making movies.
Right.
And never go anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny now, the way we perceive age a little bit differently than we did back in the day, whereas back in the day, 82 or how old was he? 83 or 84, something like that.
I have I actually have the age here. He was 86.
86 years. Yeah. Okay. So that's a
decent
working
run.
Time. That's a decent run. But just always funny. Funny right till the end, and nothing changes that. So safe home to Mr. Charles Grodin. And if you check it out, it's on YouTube. And just Google YouTube Charles Grodin and Johnny Carson, or Charles Grodin.
You'll find
on
your
the
way.
Tonight
You'll
Show. There'll be way. 10 or 20. And he's on with Letterman as well. And that movie, though, I even went back and looked at a clip of Clifford, where Martin Short plays the obnoxious child.
Mike, if I had watched that clip,
such a horrible movie.
If I had watched that clip, would I have revised my Saturday Night Live list?
Yeah, you would have.
Yeah,
by the way, you're taking a little heat on the Saturday Night Live list, don't you think? A little bit,
a little bit. Sure, yeah, it's fine. You know what? Everyone has an opinion, and you know what? It's fine. Not anyone is smart enough to know what's funny and what isn't.
Hey, hold on.
Right, Robbie, what I love is looking online and just everybody's comments about X, Y, and Z, and really the afternoon shift, doing the morning show in the afternoon,
right?
And it blows my mind. Yes, it is a shift, but they still go back to the same themes. I'm like, either they hate me, they love Rob, and they're like asking Mike something in the middle of a thread. It's just I guess if you didn't incite a reaction, to be shocked.
Yeah,
even with your voice.
Let's go to the fan club page.
Okay.
Just to get it's always nice to get a little
I use that term lightly and loosely.
F you, Rob Spiewag. F you and your Kathmandu earworm. F you right in the neck.
Well, that was us working together, Mike, because you actually brought up the song.
Right. I have to spotlight, though, listener of the day, Greg Wilson on the TMOS fan club, probably setting a bad precedent here, who put up a poll, which is really great. Greg obviously had some strong feelings on that. Who had the best Saturday Night Live top 10 list?
Mm-hmm.
This was added by Greg Wilson. And choice one, you have four choices here. You ready for them?
Yeah, please.
Choice one is not Rob.
Okay.
Choice two is Mr. O'Mara. Choice three is Mike O'Mara. And choice four is Mike. Thank you, Greg. Thank you very much.
That was Who's winning?
A true American.
Yeah, it's true. All right, we got to take a break. We will come back with the homepage, everybody. And later on in the show, I'm going to throw it out there. Speaking of audience interaction, another one of my harebrained ideas that I'll throw out there.
I can't wait.
We might have tried it before. I mean, I've been doing this so long. Get out. You had to remind me that I had Charles Grodin on the show.
That's right.
I'm Mike O'Mara, and I'm old. We'll be right back. Hello there. I know it might seem counterintuitive and maybe even silly to take advice from a promo, but I'm something of a famous radio pitchman. So this is something you can believe in. My mother always said that you can trust a man with facial hair. And if you have any confidence at all in the wisdom of a mother, it's time to stare at my drawn-on mustache and heed my words. Do you need a little more laughter in your dark, secluded, lonely life? Sure you do. You need the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. For pennies a day, the Bonus Show will take you from zero to hero. And all the ladies will be digging your scene. Grab it at MikeO'MaraShow.com. You'll be glad you did, and we'll be glad for you. Buy the Bonus Show and make me smile. A big, flashy, fake, insincere smile. You earned it, Pajango. Thank you very much, Phil. We appreciate that. Welcome back to the show brought to you by Cornerstone. Listen up. Lower than expected unemployment numbers have pushed mortgage rates back to the lowest levels of the year. Furthermore, a recent study indicated that a third of you who could save hundreds per month with a refi are yet to take advantage of these low rates. What are you waiting for?
Come on, Oscar.
We're waiting. Whether it's a refinance or purchase, the time to act is now. And you need to call my friend Mark Livingstone and his team at Cornerstone First Financial. Rates in the mid-2s will not be here forever. And with loans closing in just 2 weeks, why would you call anyone else? This is a group that you need to work with to get it done and get it done fast. Cornerstone First is a direct lender, and they'll meet or beat any offer. Mortgage rates go up like a rocket and come down like a parachute. And or it could be March, where March roars in like a lion and wills up. No, I'm sorry.
Little Again. Tiny bunny
hops.
Take advantage of this opportunity with Cornerstone First Financial. The professionals at Cornerstone First are standing by now. 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Call now. Cornerstone First Financial or Cornerstone.
Cornerstone.
It's the upper plate. Cornerstone First Financial. Personal attention from application to closing. What happened to the thing? Oh, I muted it. All right.
Oh, mute it.
Hold on. I got to do it again. This is, I tell you, it's the afternoon thing. I don't know. My idea. What's going on?
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
Yes, it is. A Texas man named Kobe Watson claims that he bought one of those "This Smells Like My Vagina" candles from Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop Corporation.
Sure.
Well, there's no better way to put it. It exploded. Watson admits the candle was burning for 3 hours or less, and there's a warning on the website that you shouldn't burn it for more than 2 hours at a time.
It's a candle!
Is that for all candles? Because we burn our candles for hours.
Yes, and on both ends.
I have a joke that's so inappropriate that I don't even know if we could ever say it.
You want to text it?
Is it one of your elitist jokes?
No. My candle said you shouldn't rub it for more than 2 hours at a time.
Okay. Thank you. Well, rubbing the candle. It's a, you can look that up too. Don't do that when you're looking for Charles Grodin clips.
Don't Google that. Rubbing
the candle. All right, so he burned it for a long time, but he believes the warning is insufficient. He apparently wasn't injured, but says someone could be. He's trying to put together a $5 million class action lawsuit for breach of warranty and products liability. Goop says, we're confident this claim is frivolous and an attempt to secure an outsized payout from a press-heavy product. We stand behind the brands we carry and the safety of the products we sell. So, that's it.
You know what TV show he should watch?
What's that?
John Wick.
John Wick. You mean movie?
That's funny.
Whatever.
That's it. Wax on, wax off. Did you happen to see the video yesterday of our president? He went to Dearborn, Michigan, to a Ford plant where he gave a speech. There are a lot of parts of the world that are blowing up right now. Israel and Palestine really going crazy. And he got a chance to test drive the F-150 Lightning all-electric truck. At one point, he was sitting behind the wheel talking to reporters. Well, one of them asked, quote, Mr. President, can I ask you a quick question on Israel? And he replied, no, you can't. Not unless you get in front of the car as I step on it. And then he immediately turned around and said, I'm only teasing.
Oh, yeah. Great.
But it was funny because they probably all feel that way.
Sure.
He then roared off in the electric pickup. But I am talking about, he didn't lay rubber, but he could have. And it looked like he was maybe working. He said he was going to work it up to 80 miles per hour. I just thought it's always
Secret
cool to
Secret Service
see.
Gotta love that.
Oh, it was fun. It was fun to watch. I like that. I like moments like that.
There's a great episode on YouTube of President Biden, then Vice President Biden.
Right.
With Jay Leno. I know you're not a fan, but he's got Jay Leno's garage.
Someday you'll be president.
And Joe Biden has a classic Corvette that within that episode, it's the first time he's driven in 3 years. He jumps in with Jay Leno on a closed track, and they take off. It's a lot of fun. He's a car enthusiast.
So I guess he's a car guy. That's cool. I guess that's why he was super into that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, fun to see an elderly president like we have, an old guy that gets behind the wheel and goes zooming off and still kind of digs it. And he's talking about what does it do 0 to 60 in and stuff like that.
And he cares, and he knows.
It had such the pickup on that was so extreme. He got to 0 to 60 so fast it actually extinguished. It smells like my vagina candle.
Long way to get there, but it worked. Back.
There you go. Goop.
Goop.
It's just that whole combination of goop and vagina.
The name is tough.
Yeah, it is.
Anywho, let's move on.
I pass. Shall we?
Knives Out, great movie. Love I think, Rob, you were the first person to recommend it to all of us. And I finally saw it a couple of years back. And really, really funny movie. I like the whole concept of it. Great acting venture. Daniel Craig, Jamie Lee Curtis. Those are some of the actors in it. Don Johnson, Chris Evans, Toni Collette, Christopher Plummer. The late Christopher Plummer. A lot of great stars in that. Can the sequel top it? When the only guy coming back is Daniel Craig, well, that remains to be seen. But they are doing a pretty good job of loading up the cast already. And here's who they've got so far. I love it when I mention something and it pops the next day.
That's cool.
Dave Bautista will be in the new cast of Knives Out.
Oh,
Knives
cool.
Out 2.
Nice.
Catherine Hahn. Anyone? Does anyone know Catherine Hahn?
Why does that sound familiar? Let me look that up.
I don't know. Edward Norton will be in this one.
That's a good call. I like
that. That's a really good call. I like that. Janelle Monáe, she's very talented. Mm-hmm. And Leslie Odom Jr. Those are some of the names that are going to be in Knives Out 2. There's no word yet on the plot, but obviously Daniel's detective, Benoit Blanc.
I remember the name. So great.
Another murder dirter.
Well, you know what? If it's a formula that works, because keep in mind it was an all-star cast, and that's a good thing, but it was a great plot, too. It was a cleverly written movie. And if they can do another almost like a haunted house-style mystery, I'm in all the way.
Well, the thing about that is if you're talking about, so-and-so did it in the kitchen with the candlestick, that type of Clue, which was an original film that did that, or Murder on the Orient Express.
Right.
There are a lot of those kind of movies, and I think the genre is a little bit worn out and overused. And so when I heard the concept of Knives Out, that was my first reaction. I kind of went, oh, they've done it before. And then when you recommended it, I said, oh, well, that's your kind of, you like that nostalgia. And then I was just blown away.
No, it's a great film. And I think also what happened is it did get worn out, and I think it was put to bed for a while, and it rested long enough that it came back fresh. I think that was part of it.
Well, it's going to be good. And that guy, Bautista, who I just read that great article. And,
that's cool.
So Carla looks at my men's journal with Dave Bautista cracking an egg on the cover, walks by and goes, I don't like it. Thank you, honey. Appreciate that.
Who asked you?
WalletHub.com has been crunching some numbers to create a list. Some of the lists I love, some of them I hate. But this is a list of the best budget-friendly U.S. destinations.
Ooh.
I put this list out for two reasons. One, there's a surprise city on here that I just blew me out of the water because it contradicts everything I've heard and read over the last 15 years. And then there's a, you'll know when you hear it. They analyzed 100 of the largest metro areas across 42 key indicators, including stuff like price of flights, the local cost of living, the number of attractions, weather, safety, and here's a weird one, the number of beer gardens per capita.
That is such an antiquated firm I love to hear. Because you know what it is? It's an outside bar. That's all it is.
Wo ist der Biergarten?
Ja, this is a beer cup.
You can have a lot of fun in an outdoor beer garden.
You can.
You know, there's a golf ball that's on the market called Snell, S-N-E-L-L. And, one of my playing partners and I the other day, Oscar knows I've been playing at this other location, and there's a guy that I was hanging out with, kind of a new interesting dude. And every time we saw the golf ball, we went Schnell. It was hilarity ensued.
Mike, you can upgrade if you want to get a better golf ball. Get the Mach Schnell.
Mach Schnell. Yeah, it goes a lot further
and faster.
All right. In the end, here's the list: Orlando, numero uno.
Of course.
You visited Orlando a lot, Oscar.
Yeah.
Number one. But you stayed with your sister, so it wasn't. It didn't really count.
Yeah.
For you.
Family, you don't think of, the only expenses you think about is how can I make sure that they'll invite me back?
That's right. Mm-hmm. I've got to get to the experimental, prototypical city of tomorrow.
But I knew this early on. Now, here's what's interesting about Orlando. Yes, attractions, but also housing in Orlando based on the theme parks. You can get yourself a really, really good deal to book, like, rent a house for a couple of days with a family. It's pretty good. Here's the one that was the wild card. Honolulu is second.
No way.
No chance.
I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me why Honolulu.
Because
I would think. It says, comes on the list of the best budget-friendly U.S. destinations, and they included airfare. So I don't understand.
I haven't
checked flights to Hawaii lately, but who knows? The following list: New Orleans, the Mike O'Mara show,
fun
went to that city
and a fair city price wise.
Yep, absolutely. The rest of the top 10: Austin, Atlanta, Salt Lake City, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Los Angeles, Oklahoma City, and Little Rock, Arkansas. This list is all over the place. I don't know what's going on.
Well, budget-friendly, as you could probably find, look, it's a huge metropolis in Los Angeles. Depending on where you stay, you can afford to stay there. You just got to drive everywhere.
That's true. And also, you got those big cities there that are going to have a lot of flights going in and out, which is going to keep the airfares low.
Well, not only the best, but of course, there's always the worst. The worst city to visit, Lansing, Michigan.
I love it there.
I don't know why that would be true, but I guess perhaps
then half of Lansing burned down?
Why do you have to be such a negative guy? Half of Lansing's still standing.
Ventura County, California, which is just north of L.A., was second worst, followed by Fort Myers, Florida. Yeah. Stay away.
I felt like it was fair there.
Yeah.
No?
Here's another one. Portland, Maine, a beautiful
Love
city.
It. Yeah.
Beautiful city. They say it's not budget friendly, which is probably true because I price things in Portland and that's bad. If you want to have that vacation at Allentown, Pennsylvania did not make the top of the list.
Mike, they're closing all the factories down.
Yes. I don't know. Okay, it's a sucky list.
Allentown.
That little something. A 61-year-old guy, hey, that's my age, in Myrtle Beach, named Fred Funny, spelled Funnye. I smell a rat here, but I don't know. Hey, Carla, is something burning?
Is it passion?
You're making bacon?
You're making bacon while I'm doing the show?
Is it a candle?
It's from Goop. His name is Fred Funny. He's been dating a 27-year-old woman for about 4 years. So there's a big age gap there. Mm-hmm. Around 5 months ago, they moved in together, and now they're engaged. Well, he proposed to her at Walmart.
That's nice.
Which isn't really relevant. It's just the first classy detail. Their fairy tale romance might be on the rocks after he came home drunk Sunday night and started a fight about her not doing enough favors for him.
Mm.
Sex, we assume.
Mm. Sure.
And how it ended? He threw a bucket of pee at her.
Oh.
It's not clear why, but Fred keeps a bucket in the house that he uses to relieve himself in. As do I. I could probably offer conjecture on that, you know, if why a 61-year-old would have it right, like, next to the bed or something like that.
Urgency?
Well, you know, I mean, if you're sitting there and you don't want it, getting up is, go back to sleep activity. You know,
yeah,
if you open
yeah,
your
yeah.
eyes and you have to pee and you just lean over into a bucket. I've never done it, you know.
Sophomore year in college, the suite across from me, they got in a huge fight because one of their roommates didn't want to walk to the communal bathroom.
Yeah.
So he would just pee in like the big milk jugs. And I remember a fight broke out because that's when you figure out like fight. And then the RA came over and said, "What's this all about?" And he's like, "Look at this. It's urine." And I sat there. I was like, "Man, you got to be really quiet to like pee into a jug and hide it for months at a time until like it really
so
builds
disgusting.
Up."
Yeah. I'm with the roommate that
me too.
Bitching about it. Throw the guy out.
That guy got put in a single suite. He got rewarded
That's
for it.
So disgusting. Mm. But anyway, Fred got arrested because he tried to use it as a weapon. He was passed out when police got there, so they had to wake him up, and he claimed he didn't do it. But the police report described her clothes as soaked in urine. And now I understand why they got engaged at Walmart, because at Walmart, everybody's clothes are soaked in urine. Including my own. Thank you. Because I certainly qualified that, because I don't want to appear to be you know, that thing.
Blue blood. Yeah. It's a blue blood. Sangrasu.
A blue blood. Yes, a blue blood. He doesn't look like he belongs in this neighborhood.
He must be visiting.
Look at that. I can see his nipples. We'll be right back with more fun. A new idea.
Hi, America. This is Luke Bryan, and I won't be satisfied till I get every one of your redneck dollars in my wallet.
I'm here with Katy Perry, Lionel Richie, and he wears real tiny little jackets.
This is going to work, right? I mean, this is going to be good. Right?
I make my own beer. It tastes like...
Take it from country music doofus Luke Bryan.
Hi, this is Luke Bryan.
And I never shave my neck.
From shiny new licorice hats to red Solo cups.
I've got goose flesh.
The Mike O'Mara Shopping Center has got you covered for all your hillbilly shopping needs.
Golly.
Just click the shopping center banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Ain't that right, Luke?
That dang old internet, man. Click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This portion of the Mike O'Mara Show, ladies and gentlemen, is brought to you by 1-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000, 4-1000, 5-1000, Liquid IV.
Ah.
That's wonderful. It's extremely important to take care of ourselves with the proper vitamins and nutrients. That's why Liquid IV created Hydration Multiplier plus Immune Support to help your immune system. Add it to a bottle of water and you are set. It's a cutting-edge blend of vitamin C, zinc, and Wellmune in convenient single-serving packets that help strengthen your immune system. Wellmune is a naturally sourced beta-glucan that's proven to help strengthen your immune system. We live on Liquid IV here at TMOS. I got it right here. I love it. It's nice over ice.
Oh, great.
That's just nice. And we know that with every purchase, Liquid IV donates a serving to someone in need. Liquid IV has already donated over 4 million servings in response to COVID-19. Products are being donated to hospitals, first responders, food banks, veterans, and active military. The company has donated over 10 million servings globally. Liquid IV is changing you and the world for the better. Get Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier plus Immune Support in bulk at Costco or order online and get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code TMOS at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you get better hydration today by using promo code TMOS at liquidiv.com. Now, I know I've done this before,
okay.
And I know it didn't work, but I want to try it again. I'm revisiting this. A new idea to replace the mailbag, maybe permanently, maybe temporarily, but it's called Here's My Bitch. And now I know we tried to get people to go on record and talk about their bitches, right? And talk about their complaints.
There was an experiment along those lines. And then
Do we remember exactly how it worked? Because it didn't work.
We wanted people to call and leave a message, if I recall correctly.
The Yak Shack.
That's what I thought,
yes,
too, right?
Yes, yes. And then we realized that and this is no slight to our wonderful audience. You're talented, Mike. They're not.
Yeah.
So they really couldn't get over it.
And I see your point.
Yes.
However, with the written word, and also with the long-form interviews we do where we talk to a talking head every week, I found that to be wonderful. I love the talent of our listening audience.
Some of our
audience
is talented.
That's
the
right.
Majority is not. Let me clarify that.
Are you being elitist? Are you being a blue blood?
These are facts. Like, we have wonderful listeners that have called in for the talking head, and you're like, I can't believe this person listens to the show.
Well, the talking element is what the problem is. But I think... that especially with the pent-up frustration. I was walking through Costco, and not once, not twice, not three times, not four, but five times, I got log-bonged by the same couple, the same crawling, stupid, mouth-breathing, we've never been in the store before couple, and they've been in the store probably a million times.
They live there.
And that's just a tiny little bitch. If you take time to craft it, and think about it, and put pen to paper, I think that this would be a wonderful psychotherapeutic element for our listening audience.
This actually could work if it's in written form. People get a chance to actually craft it.
Written form.
And also, because Mike will be reading it, it has that extra sheen on it. Because you will give it that polished...
Absolutely, but I will tell you that if I find the bitch to be unwarranted, beware... You'll be called out for it.
What about advice? A better name? May I throw one out?
Yeah.
What's the point? Like, what's the point? What's the point of doing this? What's the point? Maybe everybody starts off like that.
Let's see what the audience thinks. Oscar wants to change Here's My Bitch to What's the Point? They don't seem to be.
They can't all be winners. I'll come back with something else before the show ends.
Would you like to weigh in on your name?
I dislike that name, but how about this? What's your beef?
That's Jay Leno's old bit.
I know.
Do you even remember
no,
that?
No, I know where's the
Do you
beef?
Even remember that
from, I know where's
from
the beef?
David Letterman show?
Yeah, because he'd come out and he'd say,
what's your beef, Jay?
He'd say, you know, I'm kind of worked up tonight, David. Well, what's your beef, Jay?
I got one. I got one. Jive. Maybe
okay,
this one.
Okay, go ahead.
What the f***?
Oh, dear. Yeah, it would be too, see, even though it's dated,
yes.
A WTF
yes.
reference would be yeah. dated. WTF would be jive even back when
yeah,
WTF
you know what?
Was a thing.
I'm going to step back.
Mm-hmm. It's got to be something you're bitching about. How about...
I want to hear this about... Well, you know what? Do you remember what one of the problems was when we asked for that via Yak Shack calls
right,
where
right.
people, we wanted complaints?
They would leave a
we
message.
We were not specific enough
about
to,
this?
To talk about it.
How about the TMOS complaint department?
No.
Were you even? What were you doing just then? What were you trying to be funny or what?
Is that serious?
It's better than what's the point?
What's the point?
I think it's just as bad.
It's so hack. It's so lazy.
Tony, you got anything in your anime world or brain?
Yeah.
No, but I do think that here's my bitch sounds extraordinarily sexist and like. Quite possibly easily misunderstood.
Snowflake, hold on a second, okay? Here, we voted for the same team, right, Pony? Okay.
He's not a snowflake, he's a butterfly.
He's a butterfly?
Yeah, I think actually he's a caterpillar.
I am not using a bitch in the female perspective at all. People bitch and complain. Are you telling me, hold on a second, are you telling me now I'm going to stand up for
I'm
going to stand up for all of my comedy brethren out there.
Do it,
are
Joe
you
Rogan.
Telling me they are now going to take away the idea of using the word bitch to be used for a complaint? Are you telling me that's going to be gone now?
I didn't hear that initially, and I don't know if I hear it now. Maybe on the third or fourth bounce. I just felt like it was... What's my bitch's?
Here's my bastard. I got my hair all.
I felt like
my hair got all messed up. After.
I felt
Way
like
go,
it
Pony.
Was. We could do better than that because we're all creative here. Well, Pony's not, but the three of us are.
How about this? People suck.
Yes.
Now you're talking.
Bingo. Mm-hmm. Bingo.
If you have a complaint or a people suck letter, you'd like to people suck.
And that should be the first two letters. That should be the first two words of every letter.
Yeah, the PS department.
People suck.
But let me just, here's the only thing that concerns me. I want to make sure, because I don't mind it. What if we said, if we say people suck, every possible complaint you could would involve people,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
It would have
because
to
even if it's
people.
Something an inanimate object, someone built that object. So it goes
right.
back to people.
Now there are going to be ground rules, but we'll handle them on our end.
Yeah,
but
no hate speech.
It'll make us it'll make us our job easier when we have to handle that.
Mm-hmm.
If you adhere to, we don't need we're not able to come on and talk about that particular car dealer you had a run in with.
No.
You can write the people suck letter about them, but we can't mention it by name because I have no idea what the circumstances are, and that would open us up.
Mm-hmm.
And that type of thing. But as far
but
as...
you know it would be a car dealer. It would absolutely
be
mindful, a car dealer.
Be mindful of the fact that we'll want to hear about the circumstances of what you went through, and then we can we can give you our verdict,
yeah.
and we can move on. But, I mean, we do have some legal parameters around this
I'll
show
give you the perfect one, and maybe this is top of mind. At one of the old radio stations, maybe it would have been in Arizona, I'm not sure, there used to be someone on the team that would build a fort of toilet paper on the toilet bowl because we didn't have those sanitary layers or strips that you'd put on a bowl. And they would leave the little strips of toilet paper as he used for or he or she used for a hygienic guard on the toilet bowl after they were done. So you'd walk in to use the toilet and you're come on.
That's horrible.
That is
people suck.
That is such a classic people suck.
That is a perfect people suck.
That is beyond a people suck. You know, if that is that's at its absolute extreme. And then you have people that even where years ago, my sister and I were in a restaurant in my hometown and this family of probably it looked like 11, this table of 11 that had maybe three or four children under the age of five. And they got up and literally. They had to. It was such a cleanup job where all the Cheerios and the crumbs and everything, and they just left it. And that's why people suck.
People suck.
I think this could be something. I think that we could, and I think we could even do it by next week. We could have absolutely. The people suck mailbag.
Here's what we do, folks, is you email me, Rob with two B's, rob@mikeomaraShow.com. Make sure you write in the subject line, people suck. And people that way, suck. We know that we can collate your letters, and we'll have this for you. Let's do it on Tuesday.
I like it.
That gives them the weekend someone, to do it.
An outlet.
Has someone done something that that just so gets under your skin that complaining to your partner or your children or anybody in your room or your close friends just isn't enough? Someone who's done something so egregious
and more.
It's such a violation of your social norms that you want to. You want to scream it from the highest mountain? Well, let us be your mountain.
Yeah. If you want
let
an
us
outlet,
be your mountain and let, and you know, I'd love to hear it.
Or your outlet.
It
would
be we'd love to be your outlet.
It would be cathartic. Imagine you
healing, healthy.
Punching away at your phone or your computer, and your wife looks at you and she's like, you can just say it's a work thing, but you're just getting it off your chest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that I've had a lot of conversations with my friend Mark Miller. We talk about a lot of different things about how, you know, being down here full time and watching the behavior of the people that come in and out of this area. And, you know, we do a lot of talk about snowbirds, and there is a vibe among, I'm going to say the minority, I hope, of people that come down here seasonally, that just that everybody that works and lives down here full time, we are here to serve them when they are here.
Yeah.
And
in their minds,
actually,
Mike, in their minds, they're guests.
I think they feel that way.
Yeah.
And so they feel it's almost like when you go to a new restaurant, but magnify and you have an attitude that what are you playing? Snowbird?
Yeah, I love
Anne Murray.
Yeah, she's a wonderful Canadian songstress.
Well, don't we? I think there's it's not to the extreme, Mike, but when people come to DC, if you don't ferry them around to the monuments, forget about it.
Oh, they want to go everywhere, and they don't.
Let me tell you why it's a little bit different.
Why is there no parking?
Let me tell you why it's a little bit different.
Yes.
Down here, there is the perception among a certain group that they are very much key, which they probably are to a degree, to our economy.
Mm-hmm.
And when they come down, they have that. And so when you have the attitude of do for me, or I won't.
I'll
come
never
back.
Come back.
It's
stimulate
just that
your
kind
economy.
Of vibe.
Yeah,
that's kind of vibe, and that's a you know that look. Your people suck. Doesn't even have to be funny. We can always make it funny.
No, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
It has. You know what it has to be? It has to be genuine.
Genuine is the key to this.
Do not try to manufacture something. Don't try to curry favor by writing some funny thing. That's
exactly.
Not going to work. It has to be genuine.
Like, I think it'd be fun. Yeah. I think it'd be fun.
Or Florida, really for example. Fun. Here we have the Easy Pass. Or Easy Pass, right? In Florida, you have the Sun Pass. And that annoys me. There's nothing sunny about paying for every road you get on. I'd rather it. And the Easy Pass, at least you're like, I know it's going to be, you're just going to gouge me for whatever dollars you get on. But the Sun Pass really pisses me off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's another thing. But this doesn't even mean people suck, but people cause the pollution. I'd like to say, come down and visit us down here in Fort Myers, because you're just in time for the green-blue algae that's choking our waterways because of the poop water that's pouring out of Lake Okeechobee.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. Way to go, Governor.
Keep pumping.
Really tackle that issue.
Keep pumping, Governor.
Keep the pumping. Yeah, pumping. We got to take a break.
Yes, we do.
We'll come back with Rob's nerdy website and some information on McDonald's ice cream, because that's what we care about on the Mike O'Mara Show. We'll be right back, everybody.
Oh, it's your boy, Paulie. Technology has come a long way for the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to it on iTunes and Spotify. Watch the boys on YouTube. Hang out with them on Facebook and Instagram. And now, they're also on Alexa. Let's check it out. Hey, okay. Alexa, play the Mike O'Mara Show podcast.
Yeah, play it,
Here's
Blair.
Here's the Mike O'Mara Show from TuneIn. Number 2208, full course meal, 1 hour 22 minutes.
It's freaking unbelievable.
Yeah. Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oh, my God. That's freaking unbelievable.
Yes, it is, Blair.
Back to you, Mike.
Thank you, Blair. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show.
PBC?
That's Blair Christine, everyone.
Why is that funny?
I think I've been meaning to do it for 3 days.
I don't know why it's funny. This portion of the Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by Noom. Think about everything you've ever learned about getting healthy. so much nonsense. There's a lot of contradictory information out there. That's why I love Noom, and I think you will too. It's not about what you eat, but how you eat in general. Noom teaches you about eating so you can get smart about your food and the choices you make. Based in psychology, Noom teaches you how to eat because you don't need rules to lose weight. You need knowledge. With Noom, you pick the health goals that are right for you, and Noom personalizes a weight loss program to help your aspirations become reality. Plus, Noom is flexible, it's empathetic, it's easy, it's forgiving. If you stumble, get right back on the bus. That was for Blair. It's only 10 minutes a day,
BBC,
and you don't have to commit to a rigorous plan. Noom works with you. Oscar loves Noom. Carla's never looked better. There's a science to getting healthier. It's called Noom. Sign up for your trial today at Noom, Noom.com/TMOS. Learn how to eat again with Noom. Sign up for your trial today at Noom, Noom.com/TMOS. Ready to learn how to live healthier? Sign up for Noom today, Noom.com/TMOS. All right, what are you? These are both what you brought to the table today, Rob. You want to talk about the Mickey D's ice cream or you want to talk about your website?
I want to talk about the ice cream. The ice cream is more pressing and more urgent, and we must get to this.
Okay.
Because
all right, now listen, last week it might have been we were out in the area and someone, I think it was we were getting something for Michael, and they were out of the McDonald's ice cream. They didn't have it. And I thought about that story we had a few weeks back about the conspiracy of the McDonald's ice cream. You have an update on it, right?
It turns out the conspiracy we've had in the past, I mean, the show is checkered with references to McDonald's ice cream cones. I recall sometimes when you were doing the morning show, you would get an ice cream cone on the way home to give you a boost of energy because you were tired because you were getting up at 3 a.m. Then there was the time that you and Jimmy went to several McDonald's in an evening and none of them had ice cream and you were very, very upset about it. Then
I was kind of upset. Well, you've seen viral videos of that kind of upset.
Yes.
Right now.
We've heard of apps and websites that track the McDonald's that have working ice cream machines in your neighborhood. Right. And then we found out that was a few weeks ago, the conspiracy theory that employees hate cleaning the machines, so they just tell you they're broken or they're out.
That's not true.
It's not true. Mike, the thing is, it's basically due. Several employees of McDonald's have put up TikTok videos. It's bad machinery and inconvenient servicing. That's the problem.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, I've got more information than you do on this.
Really?
I watched an entire documentary on this online that this guy did a deep dive. It's not just bad machinery. It's purposefully bad machinery.
That's what I'm about to get to. Okay. It's the Taylor Company.
I thought I brought this up on the show. I thought I already talked about this, that I watched a documentary. Maybe we never got around to it.
It was a pre-show meeting, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, it was a pre-show?
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I thought we had it. The gist of it is this guy did a real investigative detail search on McDonald's ice cream. They are connected, McDonald's corporate, to the repair companies. This is a massive amount of money to fix this code that appears on the McDonald's ice cream machines that's an error code.
They
can only be serviced by specific technicians that are an umbrella company of the McDonald's Corporation. It is this amazing conspiracy about McDonald's ice cream machines breaking down because they are benefiting their bottom line by having them break and get serviced. It's like when you buy a car, half the deal when you go to a GM dealership is their service department. Brings in a lot of money.
Of course. The franchise owner of McDonald's has to have an ice cream machine built by a company called Taylor.
Ooh.
Taylor is the ice cream machine that Ford franchises are forced to use. It has an automatic self-cleaning function that takes no less than 4 hours to complete. So when they clean it, now my father worked in an ice cream place when he was a teenager. They used to clean the ice cream machines with milk. That because, you know, water would freeze and crystallize, so they had to clean it with milk. This is a self-cleaning machine. Now, that four-hour cleaning time is a huge setback for the customers anyway, but also, this video points out, the machines often get stalled by inexplicable errors, as you mentioned, Mike, during the cleaning session. That makes they have to start the cycle from the very beginning. So they can be 2.5-3 hours in, then they got to start again the whole four-hour cycle. Now, The worst thing that can happen during a cleaning cycle is when the machine completely breaks down and the McDonald's location is left with no other option than to call a Taylor Company technician fix it.
Now, specific.
Many people feel that these machine failures are part of the Taylor Company's business model, as the firm is apparently earning from these machines' failures.
Oh, it's literally their business model.
Yes.
Their business model is to have these machines not work properly. That is more money than they make on selling the machines themselves. They are designed not to work properly, and their service department, they're astonishing numbers about
this. Listen to this statistic. The Taylor Company technician cost $315 for every 15 minutes of work.
Oh, my God.
There you go. Great. That's the one I remember. $315 every 15 minutes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. For this service. And he's the only game in town. They won't let any other technicians work on this equipment.
$1,260 an hour to work on
that. McDonald's will not be allowed. A franchisee will not be allowed to have any other ice cream machine make the McDonald's product. Which, by the way, is just a carton of goop that they pour into the thing, and it freezes
agitates and freezes, yeah.
But they do not use any other machines, because if they use other machines, the machines would not need to be serviced, and they would not be able to be.
But it's like a grandfather clause, like they have to use these machines?
Well, you saw the Michael Keaton movie. You know, you have to sign away your life to get a McDonald's franchise. Now, Mike, how about this? Further research shows that the Taylor Company repair service and replacement parts on Taylor Company's machines account for 25% of Taylor's revenue.
Yep.
Repairs and replacement parts. And as if that is not enough, the Taylor Company ice cream machines are so expensive that each McDonald's location only gets one. And because of this, if it's used too much, the ice cream machine will overheat, causing more shutdowns.
My God.
Yeah.
It's a frozen dessert machine overheating. There's probably a design flaw somewhere. Why is in there.
It's a scheme.
Yeah, it is.
Why is an undercover boss getting into this? Like, I love
Ray
watching
Kroc, the late Ray Kroc.
Yeah, I like watching these shows, and then, like, they're flipping burgers, and they're like, "Oh, I got to clean the bathroom now," and flip burgers, and no one's washing their hands, and they freak out.
Exactly.
This began because so many people loved the product.
Yep.
And was very, they were very excited about it. And then you had these websites where it was such a frequent problem, but there's absolutely no financial motivation for the McDonald's, because if you trace the money
and follow the money
with McDonald's and Taylor, they're married as well.
Ooh,
this is not this McDonald's getting. It's just, it's fascinating. It really, really is. And I think your statistics where 25% of their nut is in service might be a little bit low.
Wow.
I really do.
So if you're a franchisee and this is just going to get you at the, or maybe you've been at it for 5 years. You're like, I'm not dealing with it. You just want it broken all the time.
Exactly.
Like, why would you ever fix it?
Yeah, well, you don't want to pay $1,000 an hour.
You don't want to deal. What you're dealing with as the franchisee is you're sitting at the window when somebody throws a fit, where like a drunken guy comes in with his Buffalo Buddy and starts going, why the F don't you have ice cream? You never have ice cream, at that. And by the way, the employees are completely conditioned to it, that these machines are going to break down all the time.
All the time.
It happens. There is no financial, hold on a second. Yeah, there we go. There is no financial motivation to repair the machines in any permanent way. They will do the quick fix, but then it will happen again. And to go one step further, the documentary I watched showed the coding for the error. There is no easy, what I can equate it with? Take a look at a refrigerator.
Okay.
When you want to do some digital fix on a refrigerator. Very similar, only even more complicated, so that the average person that's making your fries is not going to be able to do that, because he doesn't have any kind of training in what that is, other than what's on the side of the... Oh, and they also went in and opened up the instructions on how to do different things, and that was insanely
like
difficult,
purposely misleading. Probably
it was something else, and it really is. Now the thing is, this has not seen the light of day on any major news outlets. I believe this was a very pointed documentary that was online. I'm trying to look it up right now. But do you have anything else in your article about it?
Because it
was financed by Whirlpool.
All I know is this: is that take my advice, get the hot apple pie.
Yeah, no, don't do shtick, Checky. I'm really trying. This is really fascinating because it really is.
Isn't the soft serve, if they don't have that, you'll just get fries. Like, I feel like you're already at the drive-thru. You're going to get something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The margins probably aren't great either, if you think about all the cost.
I think, really, if you added up the margins, ownership. You were talking about the ice cream sales at a Mickey D's, probably wouldn't be that big a deal.
No, their money's
the
in soda.
Service.
The money's in the soda.
How many ice cream cones do you have to sell to make $350?
Oh, I don't know. I'd like to find out.
How about your service tech comes in and gets $350 every 15 minutes? His initial 15 minutes, and then it's some other structure that they have.
I wonder what other franchises have these clauses that just burn you left and right. I have a friend who just got, the green light to open up his own Chick-fil-A. And
oh, that's a song and dance. And
it took forever. It took like a year to get that cleared. And I just sat there. I was like, how long is it going to take to get this? Like, and I don't know enough about the business, and I just like learning about it. But if I learned that I had this like one side of my business and expense that was just going to destroy, kill me every 2 months, I'd be like, maybe we're not going to do soft serve.
Yeah, you know, it's like a mob payment. It's like protection.
Maybe that's don't have the option to say no.
No, they can't
don't
say no.
Have the option to say we're not going to serve at our franchise. They don't have the option to get another machine in. They don't have the option to get another repair guy that might be interested in making because there is they went so deep on this. I'll try to find out more about it because there's more than meets the eye to this.
And it's Mike, I'll close really with this: is that McDonald's knows that this is sort of a running joke as a weakness of their business. In August of last year,
Rob, I'm sorry to correct you, but you're missing the point on this. McDonald's does not. McDonald's is in.
I know, but what I'm saying is this is a
complicit relationship.
They also know that people make fun of them because of the outward
right,
and then so they actually tweeted.
They don't care.
That's right. Last August, they tweeted, we have a joke about our soft serve machine, but we're worried it won't work.
Mm, mm.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like, ha, 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 ha.
Right. Well, they're doing that just, but do you understand? This is McDonald's.
Oh, I know.
If their burgers were not cooked properly, they're profit leaders. Yeah. They're little hamburgers. How long do you think it would happen before they would jettison this company? This is something where, A, the profit margins for ice cream are irrelevant to
minuscule.
A McDonald's.
Minuscule.
The service margin, the rates for service calls on these machines. You have now installed a machine in your franchise's McDonald's location that is generating tremendous amounts of income for you through this subset. Mm-hmm. I'll find out more about it, and I'll make a few notes on it. But it is going to – I don't know if this was a conspiracy theory, but I believe the guy because he showed a diagram. I'm looking at it right now, a diagram of the machines. Like, oh, my God.
At the very least, it's shady accounting because
– It is you're shady
at the very best of it.
It's like a tax on your franchisees. If this is clear, and it's all alleged, it tax on your franchisees. They're not expecting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And right. they're
forcing them to do it. But anyway, even just with the cursory information I saw, I said that is some fascinating stuff. And crooked. Crooked.
That's how they get you.
Yeah.
We got to take a break.
We will
come back
Mike.
With the digital dumpster right here on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. And while you're waiting, have yourself a nice McFlurry. All right? If you can find one in your state. Okay? or have a nice hot fudge sundae.
Yummy.
Fudge crap they use. Yeah. Go to Culver's. They're from Wisconsin.
Behold, I have purchased a new blender for my kitchen.
Did you buy it through the Mike O'Mara Show shopping center?
No, I picked it up at a big box store.
You have dishonored yourself by not shopping through the link at MikeO'MaraShow.com. You have brought shame to our people. Now we must fight. I hope that you have learned a valuable lesson.
From now on, I will do all my shopping through the TMOS shopping center.
Buy something, say something.
Zang.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Features. We always want to put our best foot forward, but sometimes we forget to take care of our feet. Features can help you feel your best from head to toe with perfectly engineered socks for maximum support and relief. They've designed socks with different kinds of support, like their plantar fasciitis relief socks, specially crafted to relieve heel and arch pain. Three zones of targeted compression to lift, stretch, and stabilize the plantar fascia and support your Achilles tendon. Convenient relief with socks that are easy to wear and have an optional no-show tab for maximum versatility. So if you want the best socks in the world, You need features. I wear them all the time. Mm-hmm. Family owned since 2002. Easily the best socks I've ever worn. Give your feet the relief they deserve with features. You're going to love them, and I love them. You'll even get $10 off your first pair of features when you go to features.com/TMOS. Plus, Features is so confident that you'll love their socks that if you don't love them, they'll take them back. No questions asked. That's FEETURES.com/TMOS for $10 off your first pair of features.
I'm a feature.
Anyway, let's get the thing open. Hold on.
Spin the wheel.
You know, my computers haven't been working today.
Maybe your computer's a morning computer.
I think the host is a morning
computer. Oh, there it is.
Schedule, very temporary. There she is. I thought you were going to put new stuff in there. Put new stuff. It'll be funny.
Frances says she likes the 3 o'clock start time.
Ah, good for her. I bet she does.
Franny. Mm-hmm. Now, Mike, I consider myself something of a pop music historian. Mm. I know a lot about music. Yeah. I like pop music and records and stuff. So when something is revealed to me that I did not know, it always takes me by pleasant surprise. How many times have you heard this song by Foreigner? Wallpaper. We've all heard it our whole lives. And what's great about it is it had a lot of a resurgence during the Ice Bucket Challenge a few years ago. Did you ever hear the hidden background vocals?
I can't hear you.
Did you ever hear the hidden background vocals in it?
No, I did not.
This blew my mind today. I found this isolated vocal. What they're singing behind Cold as Ice are the phrases Paradise, Pay the Price, and Three Blind Mice. Listen, here are the isolated background vocals from Foreigner, okay?
You're as cold as ice. Cold as ice, I know. Oh, yes, I know. You're as cold as ice.
Kind of cool. You never hear it in this song.
No. It's such
What's the second part? It's Paradise and then
Pay the Price and then Three Blind Mice. It flipped me out because it is such a richly layered song. You don't even pay attention to the background lyrics and they're actually saying so. That
Three Blind Mice?
That flipped me out. I've been hearing that song my whole life. I never knew that.
Yeah. Maybe I'm not as excited as you are, but it's very, very cool. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm making a little joke.
Mike,
please.
Are you ready to switch your allegiance to the Detroit Tigers?
Not a chance.
Okay,
no
big
way.
Game for them last night. Spencer Turnbull threw a no-hitter against the Mariners.
The 0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss! History! Spencer Turnbull has become the sixth Tiger pitcher to throw the eighth no-hitter in franchise history. His teammates burst out of the dugout and mob him at the mound. How about it?
I don't really have words right now, but probably the best day, best night of my life, to be honest with you. It's pretty freaking cool. I just don't really know what to say. I'm absolutely surreal. Just trying to soak it in.
So he had a good night.
He's got the great athlete speak, too, where it's just like, just trying to, you know, I called the batting line of the number two, number three, and number four hitter for the other team. Who were they playing? I don't know who they were playing, but I called three. Three blind mice. Three blind mice. There we go. What were you going to say, Oscar?
The Caps. Let's go Caps, Bruins, then Boston. Let's do this.
Yes. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. I think Ralph Reich might be up there.
Tied 1-1. He is. Series tied 1-1.
I know he is.
Oh, he texted you too?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
He was kind enough to invite me to Monday's game. I couldn't make it.
Oh, now. Okay. Very sweet. Now I know. Now I know why he threw that in there.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Now that there's something in it for me.
So Spencer Turnbull had a great night last night. You know who did not have a good night, Mike?
Yes.
Was a player for the Mets. I believe he's an outfielder named Kevin Pillar. He got hit in the face by a 94-mile-an-hour fastball.
Jesus, this is brutal. Terrifying. It's still terrifying in baseball.
It's really bad, and he did a presser after. I mean, there was a picture on, I think it was ESPN.com, where you could see the blood falling from his face to the field. It was nasty. So he did a little press conference afterwards, or addressed the press. His nose is flat, he has two black eyes, and he has gauze in his nose, but he seems to be keeping his chin up.
I know in this scenario, I can't speak about all his scenarios, but I know this guy didn't want to hit me. I know he didn't want to hit me in the face. Accidents do happen, so I know he feels bad. I know me and him have talked. He needs to continue to be confident and believe in himself and his stuff, and that I'll be fine.
I think he's going to be okay, but it was a horrifying thing to see. Absolutely.
That's gritty. I like that. That's classy, gritty. Mm-hmm. That's all the check all the boxes with that guy on your team. Fantastic.
So there's really. There's Hiker in Utah, and he's being literally stalked by a mountain lion. You can see.
Is this the one where he's backing up as the mountain lion, lion comes down the mountain?
It's horrifying. And he talks to the lion.
I liked that when I watched it in like last October.
No, I think this is a new one.
New guy.
That's why I asked you. Yeah. Is this the one?
Not the one on the trail.
Where
not
it comes
the one
down
on the trail.
Where it's spreading its paws open?
He's fought this mountain lion is like stalking him on the trail. He's I guess maybe 25 yards behind
different
him.
Different video. I know which video you're talking about. Different video.
Because there's one where he's backing off the mountain. Well, go ahead, Blake. Right. I'm sorry.
So anyway. But he reasons with the lion, and guess what? It works.
I'm going away. I'm going away. I'm going away. I'm not going to promise. I'm not going to. Hey, I'm not going to bite you. I'm going away. I'm going away. I promise. Hey, I'm going away. I'm going away. I'm going away. I'm going away.
And the lion left him alone. You just have to be reasonable with animals, Mike. That's all.
The one that I remember that I saw, I don't know if there are two of them or not, but was... very long, like 5 minutes of this.
Yes, I remember
just
that from
backing
some time ago.
Down a hill, mm-hmm. And then finally something spooked the mountain lion. But on three or four separate occasions, this lion wants to attack. Mm-hmm. That's what they want to do. And I didn't know that they come at you with their paws kind of spread out with their rear legs. It was terrifying. You can see why people, you know, get
why go for hikes? Use a treadmill
or stay
and,
home.
Put it on your Peloton. Yeah. Well, that'll kill you. That'll kill you too. What's going on? You know, come on.
Could you do a video on the Peloton of a lion chasing you?
I don't worry about him. It's like Santos. All of a sudden, you hear crunch. And, you know, terrible. I don't know what the hell the deal is with these Pelotons. You know,
Mike, they're doing everything. We'll close with this. They're doing everything they can in their powers to get people vaccinated. Even. People that enjoy adult entertainment.
Larry Flynt's Hustler Club is giving out COVID-19 vaccines this Friday.
What a year this is. People are going to the Hustler Club to not get a virus in 2021.
Keep that in mind. That's your digital dumpster. Have a great that's Wednesday, awesome. Everybody.
Oh, my goodness. That's awesome. We will take our leave. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new program, everybody. Have a great evening.
Hey, it's supper time.
I know. It's still, you know, you get into it's just 12 years, right? You get into a little rut. Good to shake stuff up. Don't forget now, we're going to call it, what's it called, the new thing we're going to do?
People suck.
People suck.
People suck. That's going to replace our mailbag because we want to get to the real heart of all of your angst in this world we live in right now. And I could do 20 letters just like before dinner tonight. I hope you could do it. Send your people suck letter to Rob with two B's at MichaelMaraShow.com.
But people suck in the subject line. Yeah.
Yes.
People suck in the subject line. Thank you. For Rob and Oscar, this is Michael Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Michael Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MichaelMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
I am alive and kicking.
If you like to eat, we are having taco night. Goodbye.
Oh, good for you.
What do I do?